This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Jake and Meg, can you help me please? I need to see some cheese. And all my friends hate me and I don't have any money. Help me out somehow. If I were you, if I were you, saw us now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's a folksy, short, little, kind of sad ditty.
It gave me the feels. Did you catch the feels from it?
Yeah, I was afraid to catch feels, but I was like, if I were you,
oh,
if I were you,
oh God,
starts now.
Your voice is amazing.
Really?
Have you ever thought of becoming a singer?
I mean, pretty casually, because I'm not really good.
Oh my
god.
Not goodness.
Really good.
No, that's awesome. I feel like your singing voice is dope. It's perfect. I wouldn't change anything. But what do you think about, because I feel like part of it is having a great voice, and then the other part is being like a songwriter and having a story to tell with your words and your poetry. And I don't know if you've thought about.
No, yeah.
Like, because you.
Having a. You said, like, having a story?
Yeah. Like, having a story. Because you said you only thought about passively being a singer. And I feel like.
You thought I sucked at singing, but I have, like, a lot of, like.
What's that?
Theories and lessons and shit to talk about if it ever came up to the point where I became a good singer.
Like, about love, like, and life and stuff?
Yeah, like, about whatever and stuff. Like, I have, like. I feel like I've lived enough to finally get to the point where I know what to sing about.
I mean, that's really important, because I feel like to be a singer, you have to have conviction in your story and your art form. And it's not just about having an awesome voice, which obviously we've already established that you do.
So like one song I can think about would be like about how sometimes like you can't really fully understand why you love something, but you do. So it'd be like, I love this thing, but I can't quite get why. I can't quite get why I love it. So I don't know why I love this thigh. So it'd be like about
loving a thigh.
I don't know.
Well, I feel like if you're open to like constructive feedback, that just feels like a little bit on the nose. Cause like what you said, loving something and not understanding why is like, that's a cool universal feeling.
Yeah.
But then when you sang a sample verse, like, you were just like, I love this thing and I don't understand why.
It's so it'd have to be like, I'm sorry, shut up for a second. It'd have to be like almost like a fucking.
Don't tell me to shut up. I'm trying to help.
One second. I'm trying to think. So it'd be like.
You're acting manic. You don't have to. It's not like a. There's not like a deadline here. We can just have like a casual conversation. Okay.
I'm trying to think. Shut the fuck up for like a fucking second. Cause you helped, but then you're like, you keep fucking talking. Well, what did you say again?
Do you want to know, or do you, it feels like you're telling me to shut up so you can think, but then
I'm talking to myself, you fucking jackass. One second.
Yeah, when I'm not talking, you just start like kind of laying into me, which I feel like isn't constructive either.
I'm trying to think like, okay. So check this out. Ready?
Yeah.
Tell me if you like this.
Okay.
But don't be like, I like it that. All right, ready?
So wait, do you want me to tell you if I like it, or do you just want me to tell you that I like it?
Tell me that you like it. All right, ready?
Okay.
When I woke today, I saw a thing that I considered pretty good. When I woke today, I saw a thing that I thought that I would. Oh, I think I love you, you little thigh. I really think I love a thigh. I love this thigh. I love it so much. I can't quite get why I don't really love it. I can't quite understand why I shove it.
So you want me to tell you that I like that? That's what you need.
Tell me what you thought.
Well, you said, tell me what you think, but don't say, like, I like it, but... And then you made fun of the way I offer critiques. So I just want to be sure that you want, like, actual feedback. Because there are parts of that song that I really liked.
Which parts?
I like kind of how you, like, blended genre. You sort of went from, like, Bob Dylan to Marilyn Manson. I think that's, like...
What?
Yeah, you're like, when I woke up, you know? And then by the end, you're like, I like this thigh.
I get, like, I don't even think of it as, like, Bob Dylan or Marilyn Manson. Like, if anything, they bit me, but sure, as long as you like it, that's good.
I just want you to have, because, like, I think we can crack this, and I think you can really make it as a musician, but I think what's not helping is your attitude, unfortunately. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like... Yeah. I compare you to Bob Dylan, one of the greatest songwriters of our time.
He's okay.
And you reject that and say that he bit you. And I just feel like...
No, yeah.
Sorry, you were interrupting. What do you want to say? Because you're saying no. Did you not say that?
Yeah. No, sorry. Continue.
Okay. And the other thing, just for, you know, not for nothing, but like, it felt like we had a song, you know, like your I love this thing and I don't know why. And I wasn't saying like, let's abandon this premise entirely, but you just wanted to, like, as soon as I had like a piece of feedback, you were like, okay, fuck it, new song. But that's not like, we're not going to get anywhere just like coming up with a brand new song every time we like we have a little bit of constructive criticism, right?
Right. Okay. I'm gonna, let's talk about this offline, but I'll send you some lyrics. I've got dozens of pages handwritten that I can scan and send to you.
You have dozens of pages? You said you had only passively thought about becoming a musician.
No, like, since we started talking, I've been, like, jotting shit down.
Were you listening to any of my feedback just now?
Hold on one second.
Okay.
How do you spell cashmere?
It doesn't... Did you... All right.
Wool and fucking sheep's clothing. Yeah. All right. I got something for you.
It's
ready?
Are you going to send it to me offline, or are you going to just sort of start singing?
I'll give you a sample right now, and then I'll send you the rest of it offline. Ready?
Okay.
I just have to scan it. I wrote it on the back of a receipt. Ready?
Yeah. Jesus Christ, you're having an episode. But yeah, go ahead.
I'm a wolf. I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing. Call me Cash. Mere Blumen found father. Mother dear, and why have you forsake my spirits? Something like that.
That's awesome, man. That's absolutely epic. Just like super...
Are you crying?
Super dope. What?
Are you crying?
Yeah, that moved me to tears. Because like the fact that you said that you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. Called me Cashmere,
right?
Blumenfeld.
Right.
Father, why have you forsaken my spirit?
Yeah.
Which is similar to...
To what?
Like, why have you forsaken me? What is, that song is...
Oh, the System of a Down song?
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, that's...
Yeah. Kinda.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. I'm just going to pull up the lyrics real quick.
Don't fucking... Don't turn this into, like, a witch hunt. It's, like... Who cares? Like, okay, I used a word or two that was similar. There's only so many, like, words in the English language you could say that I did a homage to a bunch of shit.
Father, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just, like, the lyrics, because, like, you also, I feel like you sang it in the exact same cadence.
Yeah. Okay.
But I did like this. Well, here's the other thing, just like, real quick, because you're doing all these a cappella, and I'm just wondering if you have, like, any musical instruments playing abilities, or even like just like if you can like, can you sing along with music? Like, is that something?
Yeah, I can do like guitar, bass, rhythm guitar, drums, and then like anything else that needs to be filled in.
You're sort of like a Kid Rock in that regard. He plays all the instruments on his albums.
Yeah. So like.
And this is that's the guitar riff for
that leads into Kashmir.
Nice. And I mean, on the day, I just want to be sure you can play the guitar. It wouldn't just be like the noises that you're making with the mouth.
Yeah. I could do like power chords or whatever.
Okay. Cool. All right. Yeah. If you want to send me any of those lyrics, that'd be awesome.
I don't have a pick.
Okay. Well, I mean,
I don't have a pick, so I might need a little help.
Yeah.
If you know somebody.
Well, when we were recording in the studio, like I think I'm willing to invest in this album, and I'll like book us some studio time. They'll have they'll have instruments and they'll have picks. You won't have to bring any of that stuff.
Okay.
So yeah.
Well, maybe bring someone.
I mean,
that
as long as you can play all the instruments, I think that really.
If I could focus on the singing, maybe you have somebody else there to do everything else.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that's a little bit of a different investment because I will have to pay a musician if you can't do it. But that's fine.
Yeah.
I think, we find somebody as long as you can, I mean, show them how you want it to sound, because you said you knew how to play guitar and stuff.
Oh, I'm kind of scared that I overstepped my bounds.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm wondering why you don't have a pick.
I like oversold it to you for a second.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how to do that stuff. I don't know how. Like, I've never even thought about music until you fucking brought it up like 9 minutes ago.
And then you.
But, like, I'm excited to learn it.
And then you furiously jotted all of your lyrics down onto a receipt that you plan to scan and send to me.
But I'm trying to do it like left handed. So it's like, it kind of looks like the scrawlings of a madman because I'm holding my computer with my right hand.
I really shouldn't have even. Like, I feel like a little bit bad because I feel like you took this super seriously. But like I was like totally kidding. Your voice is really bad. That was like it all stemmed from like a joke about how your voice sucked, and also like your lyrics were super super bad and really dumb. And like
no,
it's saying a lot to say that they were really stupid because you like stole them from some popular songs. But like even your choices of theft on the songs were bad. So like really across the board, just like. So dumb and really bad.
No, I was like fucking with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I did just get it sounds like your voice is breaking. You're maybe crying a little bit. And I just got an email from you.
I have a fucking headache for a second.
Yeah, you have a little headache for 1 second.
I have like a little fucking headache.
It sounds like you're going to cry. Your email says, hey, these are the lyrics I just came up with. I think they're really something special if you agree. I'm so excited for this project and it's a scanned. Yeah, I guess you took it with your phone, but it's like a scanned receipt. Are you weeping?
Take it with a fucking grain of salt, man. Actually, take it with a grain of assault.
Okay.
What do you think of that for a fucking title?
That's not bad. It sounds sort of like a Sum 41 album or something, which is like
take it with a grain of assault.
Yeah.
Do you have assault? Do you listen to this vault?
You're stealing again. You're doing like a bad Weird Al thing.
I'm borrowing. I'll put it back.
Fine. Fine, man.
Anyway, thank you for that. I needed to like feel that a little bit, like the highs and the lows. Yeah. Like that's like I feel like that's what rock and roll's all about.
I guess so. But yeah, I mean, you're sort of just like screaming into a microphone out of time, stealing lines. It's not really rock and roll. It's sort of like
but I did feel the rush a little bit, which was Wow. I was crying.
You were crying a lot. You were crying a lot.
Ah, it feels good. It feels like if you've ever done a sauna or a steam room, but for the inside of your face.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. That's a nice way to look at it.
All right. Let's focus here. This is If I Were You, an advice podcast. In fact, the only one on the internet hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I am Jake.
And we are Grain of Assault.
I don't want to be in this band.
All right. It was a fucking throwaway.
What a terrible name. What a terrible name.
It was a joke. All right. We got a question from a dude who, let's just say, is from Pittsburgh.
By the way, did we say who made that song?
Who?
Who made the original song?
I don't give a shit.
That launched us into a 20-minute bit of you singing. I really hope people at the office heard you screaming, why have you forsaken me in the studio?
George Gavin from a folksy music guy based in Brighton, UK. So thanks, ooh, George.
Brighton. That's what's up, baby.
All right. This guy is a junior college student in Pittsburgh. We'll call him Ben Roethlisberger.
Nice. Speaking of assault.
Nice. About 3 years ago, my parents announced their divorce to the family. At first, it was pretty devastating for my sisters and I, but I've since been mostly okay. They both have their own home now, not too far from where I grew up. And with me being in school, I haven't had to confront much. My mom has been dating a new guy pretty seriously for a while. It took me some time to warm up to him, but he's a good guy and he's been very generous and makes us all very happy. It feels strange, but I'm able to separate myself enough to be happy for my mom. For a while, I was a little worried about my dad, but now I'm in a sticky situation because he's introduced us to his, quote, lady friend. I figured it would essentially be the same song and dance as my mom's new guy. But no, this lady is closer to my age than my dad's. If that weren't enough, she teaches at the same school my dad runs. So now I feel like this is a potential conflict of interest. Side note, she's also vegan, which I wouldn't typically care about, but now my dad's going vegan, and there's never any milk or cheese or meat in the fridge. My sisters are clearly just as uncomfortable as I am about this young chick dating my dad who is nearly half his age, so what do I/we do? Ultimately, I know this has nothing to do with us, but it's making us all feel weird to be home, and I worry that he could possibly even lose his job for this. Is it worth bringing up, or should I just let it go, let it go, let it go?
My voice is amazing. Have you ever thought about being a musician?
I just copy and paste the last 12 minutes of the podcast. I've been a fan since your early days of College Humor, and I'm eagerly anticipating the live NADPOD show in Crittsburgh.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Can't wait to go to Pittsburgh. That show is sold out, motherfucker.
Jesus. Why are you mad at me?
Nah, I'm really excited.
Thanks, love, Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay. It seems, I don't know. What do you think, man?
Wouldn't it be weird if your parents got divorced like now and started dating other people? I was thinking about that while reading this question. I'm like, it must be so weird to deal with, like, some people just never deal with that. It's not like a thing that some people eventually deal with. Like, seeing your mom with a boyfriend is kind of a funny thought.
I feel like it would be bizarre, but I also feel like I'm probably better equipped to handle it now because I'm an adult and I know, like, what goes into relationships. And if my parents were getting a divorce, I wouldn't be like, why are you doing this? I'm mad. I would be more like, oh, this hadn't been working. I would talk to them a little bit more. You know, I feel like,
yeah, like level with them.
Yeah, I would understand more now than I would when I was a kid, when I just, like, when everything they do sucked, I was always upset at whatever they were doing.
Right.
And now I'm never upset at what they're doing. They have their reasons.
Imagine your mom with, like, a different guy. Like, would that make sense to you?
That would make so much sense to me. Of course. You know my father.
Yeah, I think he's pretty awesome, and it seems like...
He's a summer squash of a man.
Yeah.
He's a misshapen jacknut. That's what he is.
So, like, if your mom brought home a boyfriend or something, or like they got a divorce and then she started dating someone else, do you think he'd be like your dad or completely different?
No, he would be a 10. My mom would be dating like an Aragorn meets Tom Brady meets Tom Bradley meets Tom
Hiddleston
Hanks.
So she would bring home just this square jawed, 6'4", 180, handyman.
Yeah. Hanksy man.
Yeah. And you'd be like, okay, this is cool. I get to know this new guy. He's like, he's not my father, but he's my mom's boyfriend, and I understand that.
I really, like, if my mom divorced my dad, she would probably be married to Tom Hanks. And I think that's kind of like where she is on the spectrum of humanity. She's like, yeah, such a saint, such a queen, a princess, a goddess, that she is like in the same league as Hanks, even though she doesn't have like you know, the same status of like,
right,
of wealth and fame and a catalog of movies that everyone adores. But like she should be with Tom Hanks, and my dad should be with like, I'm trying to think of like who is like maybe like the Wicked Witch from the West, like after the house fell on her.
Like
the
Wicked Witch from the East.
No, I mean he should be with Fat Bastard from Austin Powers.
Like Mike Myers?
Yeah, maybe. So my mom should be with Tom Hanks and my dad should be with Mike Myers.
Or like Fat, like the fictional character, Fat Bastard.
He should be with the fat suit. My dad should have a fleshlight. That would make things right in the world. What would make more sense is if my dad had a fuck doll and my mom was with Tom Hanks. That's, I would understand that. If my mom was like, hey, I actually broke up with your dad and I'm dating Tom Hanks, I would be like, what took you so long? And if my dad was like, hey, your mom divorced me and I like have this mail order fuck robot from Tokyo, I'd be like, of course, that makes a lot of sense. I would have thought that. But this fuck robot is actually a little out of your league.
Oh my God. You would think that the fuck robot is out of your dad's league?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my dad's more of like a stick of fleshlight in the arm of a lazy boy type guy. That's like.
Like he would fuck a chair.
I don't know if he would. I don't think he would, but I think that's like where he's at.
Jesus
Christ. Like that's what he should be doing. But don't get me wrong. My dad he's awesome because he pays for yeah, shit for me.
Money, right.
Like yeah, my apartment and my car.
I know that you
like is in his name and I need that because otherwise. Yeah. If I don't have him paying for my apartment and for my wardrobe and like meals and stuff, like when I go grocery shopping,
wardrobe,
or when I call a Lyft or something. Yeah, I need him. I travel extravagantly and I put everything on my dad's credit card and I really need that. That's important.
But at the same time, you'd understand it if your mom left him for Tom Hanks and he started fucking a chair.
I'd understand if my mom left him for the fuck robot that he's not even qualified to be fucking.
Okay, well, put yourself in this guy's position then. If your dad started dating someone who is close to half his age at his school, would you have a sit down, a heart to heart, or would you have to just then trust your father and say, you know what, you got this figured out?
I think at least, I don't know. I feel like all these things sort themselves out over time. Is that bad advice? I just feel like when it's new and weird and you're talking about it with your sisters, you're like, this is uncomfortable, should we say something? But your dad might also feel that, and in a few weeks or months, or maybe his girlfriend will feel that, they'll break up and be like, this was, the age gap is weird, we work together, that's bad. Or they date for like another year and you see her around more and you see them get comfortable and closer and you're like, actually I like this lady now. So I just think that this is not fully your call, in the same way that you don't get to decide what's in the refrigerator at his house.
Right. You sort of, since, you know, he's your father, you have to sort of trust he knows what he's doing. And if it's something where he's blinded by love, then it'll come to the surface soon enough. And if it's an actual healthy, happy relationship, then they'll stay together forever. And you'll have a new mommy.
Yay!
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back after thanking some sponsors with some more questions and answers.
Awesome.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah. I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog. And it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a lesson of the fight. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross.
No, but I know you do, brother.
Yeah, mine's kind of ambiguous. I'll tell you the story. Or an anecdote or two, and then we can sort of back into the advice,
okay.
More general advice.
Okay.
So I flew up for 2 days to visit my new niece. I flew up on Tuesday, back on Wednesday, real quick trip, and I was looking for flights kind of last minute, and I usually just fly Southwest, but the prices were kind of high, so I did like a more general Google flight search, and I found really cheap flights on United. It was like $110 each way, which is okay. Pretty hard to find last minute.
To Stanford.
Yeah. And then when I went to book the flight, it was like, yes, they're $110, but that's like basic economy. So you can't bring a bag. You can't choose your seat. You can't board until everybody else is boarded. They it's kind of like a bait and switch.
You're not allowed to even fly.
Yeah.
The flight attendant is going to slap you in the face.
Yeah. And it keeps going like, are you sure? You have to understand, you can't bring any bags. You can't bring a bag. You really cannot even bring a bag. Do you still want to fly?
Not even a personal item?
Yeah. No, you could bring a personal item. That's correct. One personal item.
Easy.
can't choose a seat till you get there, can't board until the last group, et cetera, et cetera. And it keeps being like, if you want any of this stuff, literally anything, like a normal flying experience, it's actually $175 away. So it's like, if you they bring you in with a super cheap fare, and then they're like, by the way, you can't do anything unless you get the normal fare.
Right, and then you're like, oh, it's $175 versus $110, I'll choose my seat. But then you realize, like, that's both ways. That's another...
Right.
It's a lot of money. All right,
it's like the normal fare that Southwest could have provided, but United gets you in with their ultra low fare by stripping any convenience.
They are the worst. All right, go on.
So I'm like, yep, that's fine. No bag. I won't bring a bag. I will not choose a seat. I'm flying by myself. It's a 45-minute flight. Put me anywhere. I don't mind. Last row,
I'll plank
in
the aisle. I don't give a shit.
Exactly. So I was like, I was probably their worst nightmare. The guy that like went in on the super bargain basement fare and stayed there and didn't mind. So I'm like, all I'll bring is a backpack. I'm going up one day and going back down the other. But on Monday, my mom's like, oh, if you're going up north, let me give you a bag of baby items to bring. Because, you know, I'm a grandmother. I want to buy a bunch of stuff for the baby.
Right. That'll happen.
So I got my backpack, and then I got my Gelson's tote bag of a ton of baby items that I did not pack. But I did not tell them that. Did you pack all your items? Yes, I did, including this mystery bag of baby treats that I'm bringing up.
Your mommy didn't help you with that?
No, my mommy didn't. I thought of bringing these Snuggies, I assure you. All the pacifiers in here were my idea. So on the way up, they didn't even care. They didn't even ask me about like the personal item, the extra bag, whatever. I just flew up and it was no big deal. But then on the way back down, they're like, you have your personal item, your backpack, but what's that bag? I was like, oh, it's just my extra bag. I'm traveling very light, I assure you. And they're like,
wait, what was that extra bag for the baby? What are you doing bringing it back?
Because, you know, my brother didn't want to keep all these items. So it's like, I'll take half and then you bring the other half back down. I'm a courier of sorts for my family. and you can't, another thing, you cannot check in online, of course. You got to go there, wait in line. For no other reason other than it's an inconvenience that they force you to do. Right. Fine, I'll do it. I'll wait in line. I'll check in there. And when I check in, the lady's like, you have two bags. This is a basic economy ticket. You have to pay for the extra bag. I'm like, how much is it to... And it's just a backpack and like a shopping bag. Those are my... I figure it's considered one personal item, but for them it's two. I tell them that I flew up, no big deal, no problem on the way up. And she's like, yeah, but here it's a little different in San Francisco airport. They take it more seriously, I guess.
We do things right.
Yeah. And so I'm like, how much is it? And she's like, it's $30 here or $55 at the gate, which seems completely made up. I'm like, okay, I'll do it at the gate. And then she's like, no, just do it here. It's $30 instead of $55. I'm like, no, I'll do it at the gate. I'll do it at the gate. It's $55 at the gate. I'll do it at the gate. And she's like, no, you, trust me. You just want to do it here. It's $30 here. I'm like, no, I'll do it at the gate. The $55. I'll do the $55. I'll pay $55. Is it $55? That's the official policy. $55 at the gate or $30 here. And she's like, okay, do it at the gate. And then she writes on my ticket in pen, gate check $55 on my ticket in pen.
That doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't mean anything at all.
It's such a big airline. It's like, all right, so yeah, you write 55 in pen, and then you take that price tag to the person at the gate?
Yeah, like that can't be like actual official company policy. Are they getting paid on commission? Are they selling me like a used mattress? Like how is this part of the actual system? I couldn't understand it.
So what did you bring the ticket to the gate?
So I'm walking through security. They don't care that it says gate check $55 in pen on my ticket that I had to print out from after waiting in line. They're like, they let me through security. And then once I got through security, I tried to print out another boarding pass by going to the person at the at the actual gate. And I was like, I lost my boarding pass. Can you print out another one? They print out another one. That one doesn't say $55 gate check on it.
Are you when you go up to the air to that gate, did you hide the Gelson's bag?
No, I was carrying it, but I like hid it behind, like I tried to like make it not noticeable. But I don't even think the person was like looking for like an extra Gelson's bag.
Yeah.
So this sort of lumps into this other thing that I did recently, which was I went to a mall, the Americana here in Glendale. I went on Sunday and there was no parking anywhere. except for this section of the parking lot that said law firm parking only, 7 days a week, everybody else will be towed. It was completely empty. So I just parked there. I'm like, they're not here on a Sunday trying to like see who parks in their parking lot. There's like 12 spots here that are completely empty. I stayed there for 2 hours. Nobody towed my car. Nobody left me a ticket at all.
I would think the same thing, but I would not want to risk it. You were like,
right.
Were you like, I'm willing to go pick up my car somewhere if they tow it?
I was so convinced that nobody was at the law firm, let alone patrolling the parking lot, let alone like running out of spots. Because it's not like I took the last spot and somebody would then be fucked.
Right.
It was a completely empty lot.
Has your car ever been towed before?
No. Because usually I play it by all the
right.
rules.
I think that's the difference. Right. My car, I try to play by the rules, but my car has been towed at least three times. Maybe
three,
four.
Three times towed.
Yeah. Four times a lady.
So I don't know if I haven't been burned yet, but I'm starting to like as an adult figure out like the different like loopholes and rules that you can break that don't really make sense to me. Like the $55 on a ticket, maybe when I was 24, I'd be like, oh shit, I got to pay it right now or I'll be in trouble. But now that right. I'm like 36, I'm like, no, that doesn't make sense. I feel like I can work my way around that. The no parking at the law office, that doesn't make sense to me either. I don't think anyone's going to actually call me and get me in trouble.
I definitely think, like, not taking weird rules seriously is a good outlook to have. Because, like, for the most part, I do think you'll get away with it. And, so for every time that you do have you have to pay $55 at the gate, you're, like, you're still in the black for all the times that
you
did.
Yeah, all the times that you got away with it.
And every time you don't get towed, you saved up. Yeah. Like, that's kind of interesting. You could theoretically get towed once or twice a year and park in tow away spots all the time.
And still
you're
make
saving
out like
on
a
valet and yeah. Parking stuff.
I mean, I don't want to just create a blanket unsolicited advice of park anywhere, don't pay anything. But it feels like there are these little inefficiencies in life that you can get away with every now and again.
I remember I listened to a podcast once about like, I forget, like being smart and being wise was like the premise there. And like, they're just talking about how like some rules, even though they're set up, they're like very, very dumb.
So I guess my unsolicited advice is live long enough that you can start understanding what is considered quote unquote bullshit versus not. Because there's the only way to like learn these things, I think, is to just kind of try them and fail it. Then you sort of start pushing the rules a little bit. Then you realize that you don't have to do them at all. Then like at a certain point, you'll probably get burned and you're like, okay, that was too much. That was too much. I'll go back.
I absolutely think that like steal from the airlines at any cost. Like they're awful. All airlines are bad. They're all so bad.
All right. Should we try to answer one last question before we have to get the hell out of here?
Why the fuck not?
This is a classic birthday dilemma. A question right in time for your birthday.
That's right.
Actually, I think this episode comes out 8/5. Is your birthday on a Monday?
Yeah, I'll be 34.
All right, here we go. Here's the question. We'll call this guy Jake. My birthday is coming up next week, and I don't know how to celebrate it. I'll be moving in that weekend, so the home will not be ready to host a party. And I was thinking of celebrating it a week or two after to have a housewarming / birthday party, but it feels a bit odd. My wife has been tied up with school and doesn't have the time to plan anything for me this year, so I'm having to plan my own birthday party. And I know, what a loser Herb. Anyways, I'd like to know your thoughts. Is it odd celebrating your birthday after it's passed, or should I try to have a small get together at someone else's place? Thanks for the advice. You guys are the best. Of course, behind Jake's mom, who is without argument better than my mom.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I would agree with that assessment. This is interesting. I'm sort of planning my own party this year as well.
So what do you do as a 34-year-old? Your birthday lands on the worst day to have a party, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So do you go the weekend before? Do you go the weekend after? Do you force something in on a Monday? How are you playing it?
You got to go weekend before. It's just, otherwise, what are you doing? You have to go weekend before.
So you're doing something Friday, Saturday, or Sunday?
This year, my birthday's on Monday. I'm doing something Saturday.
And are you doing like the inviting everyone to a place, to a bar, to a public location?
That is exactly it. I'm inviting everybody to a bar.
That way you don't have to do anything but show up.
Yeah, I think that's way better than hosting. I also, like, I don't know, there's something so stressful about planning a party, even if you're doing a completely low maintenance party. Like, as soon as I sent an email out being like, it's my birthday on Saturday, come to this bar, I was just like instantly full of anxiety of like, no one's going to come. And then like the first 10 minutes of your birthday party, when obviously no one's there yet, nobody shows up right on time, you just feel like a big fucking loser.
Or like the anxiety of like, now I have like 1,000 micro responsibilities. Like my friend will be like, oh, if I'm going to get there late, is that fine? Oh, should I bring cake? Oh, what kind of food is there going to be? Oh, do they have this kind of beer? And you're like, I don't know, just show up or not. I don't want to do anything.
This is why I usually like to just go back home and like eat dinner with my parents on my birthday.
Right. You can't get in trouble if you're just eating at home with your parents. Right.
I just spend my birthday with my family. I'm a family man, and then I don't have to stress about this shit. But I think that's the move. If you got like a big brewery or a cool bar or restaurant near you, you just have people there.
But then you invariably are going to forget someone in there. It's like, oh, you didn't invite this guy. Can I invite him? Like, no, then it's weird because I didn't bring this other person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's why I went like big bar and I was like, forward this to anyone. I definitely forgot people. Bring friends. I don't care.
Right. So you're like doing this, the most low maintenance, which is like literally anybody is invited. Just show up or not.
True. Like the opposite of my wedding where we have like a set amount of people. These people can't come. These people can't bring plus one, like all that stuff, you know, where that was high stress. That guest list is high fucking stress.
Yeah,
this is like I basically just took the email that I sent for my wedding. I removed everybody that lived in Los Angeles and I sent it out.
Yeah. And 34 is not a big one anyway. So it feels like there's less of a brouhaha to be had.
Definitely. I don't ever want to have a brouhaha about my birthday.
The days of brouhaha are over.
Do you remember your birthday that we went to Vegas? That was a great birthday. We had like 20 people in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that was like a bachelor party, but just for my 30th birthday.
Oh, yeah, it was your 30th
birthday. But that, too, I didn't necessarily plan it. It was just like, hey, I'm going to Vegas, and this is where we'll be.
It's also, at least for me this year, like, as I'm, my son, like, having a summer birthday always used to be awesome because everybody was, like, off, out of school, everyone was around. But when you're in your 30s and it's summertime, everyone goes away and does something pretty much every single weekend. The summer just like gets booked up. Everybody, especially in New York, everybody like goes to the Hamptons or goes upstate, or everyone leaves the city on the weekend.
This is you talking to one person out at your birthday party and no one else showed up.
This is me talking to the bartender. My wife didn't even come.
I mean, you get it. She has got like other shit to do. And I sent the invite pretty late in the game too.
Actually, Jill was the one person that I forgot to put on my invite list.
Did you make an invite or just write an email?
I just wrote an email.
Did you have a time to start?
I wrote 9:30-ish.
Classic. And then when will you get there? 11:45.
I'm going to get there at like, I think I'm going to get there at 9:30. I'm going to try to get there on time. But I'm so fucking nervous. Maybe I won't go. No one else is going to fucking go. Why do I have to go?
I just really want gifts is all.
I love presents.
So what should this guy do? Tell everyone to go to a bar?
Yeah. I think tell everyone to go to a bar.
Can't go wrong. Everything is planned.
Easy. Done. And also, like, make sure that you have like your core group is going to be there, because that's also important.
Yeah, make sure.
Because otherwise, you're just sitting there alone waiting for your friends, and that's not fun.
Yeah, if you show up early,
it helps to do something with like, actually, I'm doing this too. Like, I'm gonna get a small dinner with people before, and then go to this bar. So no matter what, I can't have less than 3 friends with me when I show up.
Except, oh shit, I'm just hearing now that nobody can make it to the dinner.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe I'll get Papa John's on the way.
Let's try it again for 35, guys. This one's off.
This one's a wash, unless someone wants to do something small on Monday.
God, another email. Hey, I'm getting tepid responses at best. We're going to change this to a brunch or a drunch.
On Tuesday, the 7th of August.
Hey again, Jake here, the 34-year-old geezer taking everybody off BCC. We're just going to make this a public-facing thread. Who's in and who's out? Streeter, you haven't responded.
Reply all either way. This should be a public shaming of either you or me.
Jesus.
All right. Can't endorse a birthday party more than that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just you just have it at a place where you don't have to do anything. A bar, there's no maintenance. You don't have to buy drinks. You don't have to buy food.
Are you telling the bar? Are you telling the bar ahead of time?
I contacted the bar and they said it was a $1,500 minimum to reserve the space. And I was like, Jesus. Oh yeah, I'm sure we'll spend that much money. And they're like, well, no, you have to pay it. And then, like, basically it's $1,500 of an open bar gets me to reserve the space. And I was like, how crowded does your bar get on the weekends? They're like, we can't really say. And I was like, all right, we're just going to show up.
Oh, so you didn't do the $1,500 thing.
No, I'm not going to pay $1,500 for a fucking birthday party.
This is the same thing as the fucking gate check. They're trying to squeeze you to paying money that you don't necessarily even have to pay.
I think it is. Like, me saying, does the bar usually get crowded on Saturday? And they're like, we're not sure. What are you talking? Like, you work the bar. You're in charge of events at the bar.
They're just trying to squeeze $1,500 at least from you and your party.
Yeah. So it's not going to happen. We're going to come and fucking take over Cornhole.
Put up a $218 tab.
You have to pay extra for chips?
Christ. All right. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your theme songs. The opening one was written by George Gavin. This closing one is written by Jorge Lewis. So thanks to George and Jorge. Sort of two versions of the same name.
Hip hip.
Jorge.
George.
And thank you for listening. If you have your own questions or theme songs, send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. We'll be back, of course, next week. And if you want some more If I Were You, there's always our Patreon. Bonus video Thursday episodes every week. So
that's the spot.
You can watch it at patreon.com/JA. Either way, we'll be back in 7 days. First episode with Jake as a 34-year-old.
I'm going to retire.
Hey, Jake and Amir, when you gonna help out? I have an important question that cannot go unanswered. My girlfriend invited her parents over and I don't know what to do. I've never met them before. Guys, please don't let me down. When you gonna eat those nuts, chipmunk? When you gonna earn that golden mic? When you gonna upload that pod and make my day? She said, play that cast, the one that makes us laugh all night long, the one that gives me advice. It's called If I Were You, and it starts right now.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.